Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber. Futures pretty steady here as earnings season continues to heat up. J&J, Lockheed, Hasbro, tonight, of course, Netflix, IBM. Got some relief in energy prices today, but yields close to three-year highs. Our roadmap begins with continued economic headwinds. The IMF lowering its global growth outlook and why St. Louis Fed President Bullard is not ruling out a giant rate hike.
Plus, masks are out. A federal judge overturns the CDC's requirements for public transportation, with airlines quickly moving to make masks optional. And Apollo, well, it's going to be there potentially if Musk follows through to help finance a deal. We'll talk about what's going on, the latest in Twitter and Musk and everything else coming up.
Meanwhile, as we said, the IMF just releasing its latest world economic outlook, saying that global economic prospects have worsened significantly since its last update in January, in large part due to the war in Ukraine. The organization now forecasting global growth of 3.6 this year, cuts to its projections for the U.S., China, and the euro area. Stay tuned for Sarah Eisen's first on CNBC interview with the IMF's chief economist in the next hour. Even as B of A, another growth target cut for China, Jim, because of the lockdowns over there.
Look, I don't know how they're going to be able to do these numbers. I mean, Europe is much worse than we realize, and they need about 6 million barrels of oil just to have their numbers. They're lucky to get half that. China, the lockdowns extending to more cities, claim that Shanghai is going to be open. But a number of ships, if you want, listen to the J.B. Hunt call, you understand, not only is China shut down, but the ships are just piling up. They say you can't see the water. And David, you know, we're the strength. You remember the Bank of America call? We're the strength in this world. And if you have Bullard get his way, we're not going to be the strength of this world.
Why not?
Well, you take rates to 3 and change. Then suddenly you've got our country losing its principal growth, small to medium-sized business growing, and what we know, housing is going to be crimped. But in the end, David, if everybody takes rates up and the war doesn't end, and the Chinese, they took the J&J. They just took the J&J vaccine. You know, they won't because it's totally political. I mean, it's available. You know it's available and enough to be able to handle that country.
I think many of us are somewhat mystified at the continued Chinese policy of zero COVID. It doesn't seem to make sense, even based on the data that they have, in terms of at least if it's true about serious outcomes. It's bizarre that they would choose to lose as much as they are on the economic side, not to mention just upsetting a lot of people who are stuck in their apartments for days and weeks at a time and stockpiling food if they're lucky.
I am hearing tales of people, who are locked in, basically, you know, kind of just ready to have
it's kind of weird. But
they're bordering on famine.
Jim, I want to know what you're hearing as well, though, large on supply chain overall. I mean, obviously, we know with Shanghai, there are issues. But, you know, the sanctions against Russia, what comes out of that country, and whether it's coal, whether it's anthracite coal, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's wheat from both Russia and, more importantly, Ukraine.
Corn.
And corn. Now, that's food. But again, right, that's part of the supply chain. It's part of inflation. Right. Things don't seem to be getting a lot better.
I'm going to counter that.
Okay.
J&J had huge packaging problems. It's why their consumer products were not what we thought. They say it's easy. Now, J&J arguably is powerful, but they tell me that everybody was cut short. And, you know, Carl, if J&J is seeing an ease in packaging, that's going to be the beginning. Now, J.B. Hunt contradicted the numbers that I got from when I talked with the people from Uber, but that's because the spot rates are down. They admitted that, but the loan rates are up. Now, again, that's supply chain. But what will happen is if they get the number of drivers and they're trying so hard to find more drivers. Oh, my God, it's impossible to find drivers. And you get the packaging better from J&J's outlook. Second half is going to be better.
In terms of volume?
Inflation.
In terms of inflation.
Inflation. Yeah. And look, I thought that Diana, her numbers today were all about multifamily.
Yep, that's
not
right.
About single family. So that's slowing. I continue to believe that Jay Powell is going to be able to have a soft landing. And I think that that's completely counter to what I keep reading. But what I'm reading is company after company saying, look, things are easing up. But at the same time, the inflation rate not really going down. But if they ease up, that's going to be make it so they don't have to keep raising prices.
Right.
We just need a cessation in raising prices.
There does appear to be the appetite on the consumer's part, at least in, say, EVs, to pay up for rising prices. And by the way, you mentioned Bullard, who appeared to say that a 75 basis point hike is not completely off the table. Here's what he said.
I would point out that the 1994 cycle, where we raised the policy rate 300 basis points in a year, first of all, that one was successful and did set up the U.S. economy for a stellar second half of the 1990s. And in that cycle, there was a 75 basis point increase at one point. So I wouldn't rule it out.
So he wants 3.5 by year end. And we're going to hear from Powell on Thursday. You think he blesses that?
I think Powell's being given a lot of air cover by Bullard. He can do 50 and we can have a sigh of relief. When you look at the interest rates, just go up pretty much every day. And when I look at what's happening, the consumer, according to Brian Moynihan, who's on Mad Money tonight, is so strong that if you want to slow this thing down, you got to do what Bullard's saying. I mean, this thing's a juggernaut. Well, our economy's a juggernaut.
Right, but that does lead to stories like the one in the Journal today, which basically says hot economy, rising inflation, the Fed has never successfully fixed the problem.
Oh, that's an Armageddon story. They give you Armageddon.
Well, all right, but I mean, Janet Yellen was quoted as saying it will require skill and also good luck. One doesn't always want to have to rely on good luck to engineer a soft landing.
When you go to the casino, David, good luck matters. Oh, no, it's the U.S. economy. And they had Bob Rubin in 94. Remember, he called the bottom. He crushed the euro, and he crushed the dollar.
Yeah. All right. I mean, and you've been talking about, you know, there was a time when you thought inflation was going to be transitory. I think at this point, we've all given up on that.
Well, you also didn't know that the war was going to break out, right?
Look, the war is central to everybody's thinking because, you know, look, they made their bed with the Russians, the EU. And now the EU is just completely hung. In the meantime, they're financing the war. They're financing the ruble. It is rather amazing. I got some statistics about the war. I know, David, as you point out, we are a business ship.
Yes, we are, Jim.
We sent 40,000 howitzer shells to Ukraine. Now, in 1972, the Russians shelled a town called Anlock with 47,000 shells in 3 weeks. That's, again, you did 100 shells fired every 24 hours. You get 22 days of hard shelling for one city. Ukraine's fighting in 7 cities. So don't think that our country is necessarily making it so that the Ukraine will win.
No, but we have given them $3 billion worth of arms in a very short amount of time. It's a pretty
David,
big number.
Like it's like a day. Okay. You're fighting in 7 cities.
I get it, but should it be $30 billion? I mean, again, we don't need to have this conversation here. It's not really germane.
Well, it's germane if you think that we have to figure out when this war is going to end.
Doesn't seem like anytime soon.
Well, that's my point. So therefore, you have this destruction of the European economy. I don't even know how they're going to produce it. I mean, I don't know how they can produce it without a giant inflation. You got the big chemical companies there. I don't know what they're doing. What's their feed?
Kind of feed? I don't know. What do you hear about steel? I mentioned that because the price of anthracite coal has gone up 3 or 4 fold.
I'm shocked.
Because Russia basically is the largest single exporter by far, a huge amount, and no longer.
Off. No one's buying
so
their stuff.
So what's going on? What's going to happen with Nucor? Can they get a hold of it? What's Rio? Who's getting a hold of stuff to make steel? And by the way, scrap is really hard to come by, too.
Right, but Nucor needs that. Look, I mean, caught 60-point gain from Nucor, took it for the club, the trust. I left a lot of money on the table. It's unbelievable. Once the cycle starts going, this is a super cycle, David. The only one I've ever seen.
But Carl mentioned the price of EVs. People seem to take it.
Well,
steel goes into a lot of stuff.
10% of those sales were EV this month. Last month. That's pretty good. I'm very happy about that.
Getting there, yeah. Larger than it's been in the past.
Yep.
Meanwhile, we do have this Florida judge and a federal judge in Florida striking down the national mask mandate covering airlines, airports, public transportation, saying the CDC overstepped its authority in issuing that order. As a result, the TSA, as you know, no longer enforcing the mandate at airports. Nation's airlines have ended their requirements. The White House calling the judge's ruling a disappointing decision. But clearly, the major airlines, Jim, are applauding it, something they've been pushing for a while.
One of the things we have to remember is over and over again, airlines, we heard, airlines are safe, pretty safe because the air circulates. And the airlines had to, Philip Bose had an excellent point. They became police people. And that, thank heaven, has ended. Don't forget also that there's the whole experience of flying had changed because of the mask. Like, you were afraid to order a drink, and you didn't know what. David, I think this is a... Oh, you're going away. The long trip.
Yeah.
Well, without a mask, it might even be pleasant.
Well, yeah, although it is, I could certainly choose to wear one. And as you've said many times, if somebody next to me is coughing, I might
you always want to carry a mask.
Yeah.
But remember, the thing about the mask that we keep getting wrong, you need them to stop. You don't get that much protection. You need them to stop. Right. So what you do is you bring a mask for them.
Mask policy continues to befuddle me at this point.
It's about aerosol.
I know. But, I mean, you're at a meeting somewhere. Everybody has to wear a mask. Then you go have lunch, and everybody takes their masks off.
Well, that's
it's like, what's the point?
How about young people?
They
carry on like there's no...
And
they have a better time during the
By the way,
pandemic
Uber also today making masks
right.
optional. It reminded me of the day we sat here and wondered whether the handshake... was
We'd
dead.
Go away.
It's about 2 years.
Yeah.
And we literally
it's
said,
over,
are
over
people
2 years
ever
ago.
Going to shake hands again?
I've cut the number of handshakes in half.
That is not the way you transmit the virus, by the way, nor from surfaces.
Right. No, it was in the air the whole time.
Yeah, but why not do a fist bump anyway? I've always said that. It's the way you get a cold. And these days, a cold does seem to be
Dr. Gottlieb.
Symptom with that is, potentially COVID, and then you get the test, and then you find, I have it, even though I don't feel sick, but I got to stay home now for 5 days. Or maybe it's 10 days. I don't know.
Do you talk
Can
to
I ever go back to the
Do you
office?
Talk to yourself like that?
I do.
I'm right on.
I do.
There's a lot of remonstration. I didn't know that.
I mutter to myself now a lot. Mumble is what my family says.
I'm going to mumble.
Become a mumbler.
I'm going to mumble at Musk gets it.
Yeah, what am I going to be like in a few years?
I'm mumbling at Musk gets it.
I wander the subways mumbling. People leave me alone. They do. They stay away.
You're frightening.
When we come back, I got a new twist in the Twitter Elon Musk saga. It involves Apollo. We'll get some details. Take a look at the pre-market here. Bunch of names to get to, obviously. Lockheed Netflix tonight, Halliburton Hasbro, and some calls on Lulu, Roblox, NXPI, Facebook, a lot more. So don't go away.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Welcome back. May have seen the story yesterday in the Journal. Way overplayed, in my opinion. But Leslie Picker reporting on it for us as well. Much more down the straightaway. Apollo might want to consider financing a must bid for Twitter. Okay. That doesn't mean much anything, does it? Why? Well, because, yeah, they have a huge credit fund. And, Jim, we've been talking about private credit funds lately.
Know.
Remember financing LBOs, whether it's Blackstone or Blue Owl or Ares or Apollo? This is a huge product area for private equity or for alternative asset managers, more appropriately.
I am so glad you framed it this way.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? Everybody's happy to get their name and a little marketing.
Right. It's they put up a shingle.
Yeah.
Hey, look at us.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah. Apollo's not going to throw equity in this.
No.
Yeah, they got approached by somebody. Would you consider maybe combining Yahoo and then we throw in some money? It seems unlikely. Much more so is if, in fact, Musk does move ahead and he actually ever is asked to provide financing specifics and does so, that perhaps Apollo would be there behind his mountain of equity, which gets back to the bigger issue, which is the more I report, the less I believe there's anybody else that really could show up here. Private equity is not real. That's also marketing. I'm sorry, Orlando Bravo. Good for you.
Right.
You're not doing this deal. I mean, come on.
David, but what do you hear about?
The equity check would need to be 30, 40 bill. You can't lever this asset effectively. The rates of return don't work for you. What are you going to do, seven private equity firms?
No.
And strategics. Disney? No way.
No.
Salesforce? I'll leave it to you.
No way.
No way. Snap?
You kidding me?
Okay. I'm out of ideas. So, Elon Musk, it's all yours. You just actually figure out if you can pay what they want you to pay, which is probably starting with a six.
I keep hearing the best and final is the big sticking point. He's best and final.
Well, if he's best and final at 54-20.
He's talked to the board a lot.
Yeah, I haven't heard that he has talked to the board a lot.
I'm getting the other side.
I've heard there's been a bit of back and forth. But really all it comes down to is the board saying, show us your financing. By the way, world's richest man. Yeah, he can do it. We know that. But how's he going to do it? Is he really going to choose to put that much of his net worth at risk? Maybe.
No.
Has a plan. Can't doubt Musk, right? I mean, you really can't.
I'm totally
the man
real.
Sends giant rockets that they're going to go to Mars soon. It's incredible. But that's what the board's got to figure out. And, you know, good luck finding somebody else to step up here. It just doesn't appear to be the case. So the stock's reflecting that to a certain extent.
But Brett Taylor wants a process-oriented guy.
Brett Taylor, the chairman of the board, who also is Salesforce's co-CEO.
And the board is filled with heavyweights. This is not a hack board.
No. Although Dorsey doesn't seem to like him.
No, but
that was weird.
I think that I wish that Musk would just go up a little and then it's game, set, match. I mean, look, there are people who just say, this is what I'm hearing. If you want to come at us for not having created any value, you get the company. They've created no value.
No, they haven't.
And meanwhile, Musk, a good piece by Matt Winkler, old friend at Bloomberg.
Which Elon Musk appreciated.
Didn't you love that? I mean, number one in this, number one in that. He's greatest of all time. And he's like, you know, a kid. So I just think that if you think that, you know, Jack Dorsey ran two companies and one did better.
By the way, you're paying for it and then it's over and it's a private company. So it's not like there's any constituency. The only constituency that should matter to that board for the most part is shareholders.
Right.
And
well,
getting them the best price. And I don't know, I believe that they don't think 54-20 is the best price.
Yeah.
But to your point, management thus far has not been able to perhaps fulfill the ambitions of so many shareholders that say this should be a far more powerful and profitable company.
They are working on something.
By the way, I mean, Musk came after them for their ownership as a percent of their net worth. They probably own more Twitter stock than he does as a percent of net worth, which is a good way to measure it.
But Musk, he points out, I mean, they're not users. I mean, they don't use it. So they don't know the experience of it. I think one of the things they are developing that I really like is you'll be able to block certain words. So I can take the words of the late George Carlin and block them.
I know.
For me.
I still.
The seven words, which you use pretty
seven
much consistently.
Words.
You mean beyond muting a word on your feed?
Yeah, I can make it so that word can't come up.
Cannot come up.
Yeah, so why would you do it? Jimmy Chill says, thank you.
Meanwhile, if you're Agrawal, either you sell or you're going to have Musk on you. Even if he sells and the stock goes back
into
the 30s, he's still going to be on
you.
They
don't know what to do. I mean, to some degree, Musk is like your worst nightmare.
Yes.
He tweets around the clock you're an idiot.
And he's just
distracted. Can you imagine if I tweeted every minute that you're an idiot? You would eventually say, I don't want to be your partner.
It's so distracting.
just thought.
If you did that every minute, I mean, it would take a lot to make me not be your partner.
Musk tweets every minute. I got up at 3:30, he's tweeting. He's attacking people and then praising people.
He replies. He's active in the replies. That's the point.
He actually goes to his mentions column. I go to my mentions column, and my kids say, you know, Dad, why do you not hang yourself? And I said, well, you know, I always, you know, kind of, it's because the Ferragamo ties. It was like, ruin the tie. If I had, like, a Brooks Brothers tie, I'd kill myself. What?
No, you're right. Your mentions column's horrible.
I try not to look.
You can't, because...
frightening.
It, you know, I mean, there's people who might have Jeffrey Dahmer. The mentions column is probably worse for him.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash. Countdown to the opening bell here, which is coming up in about 8 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at...
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Time for a Mad Dash. You know, we really didn't get to J&J's earnings at the top of the show, so let's do it now.
All right, I love this quarter. I'll tell you why. People have to look underneath the hood. Oh, good. This was down 6.5 when they reported. The amazing thing about this is the tremendous growth in med tech. It had been very weak, particularly, you know, during COVID. Now, David, do you remember that when you had, your kids were little, they didn't just become 17, 18. Do you remember the song Head and Shoulders, Knees and Toes?
Yes.
Hips up 11%, knees up 8%. Those are major market share gains. And then, David, the consumer, it's being valued. The consumer unit, if you valued it like the way that SmithKline is valued, the thing would be up huge. So I really like it on a breakup basis.
Well, people it is breaking up. I mean, that's...
Well, no, but I'm saying it was down 6, okay? And that was just
We sometimes forget. It is a long way in the future still for the split, but that is happening, correct?
But the valuation is too low versus the port.
Right.
David, you often tell me, you often say SOTP.
Yes.
Which I always thought was like the sound of Philadelphia
reverse. Some of the
parts,
correct.
Well, some of the parts is like
$200. And in this
bucks.
Case, you can actually do it, and it means something because at some point you're going to have a separate company here.
Yes.
Of consumer.
Well, I just think that, you know, you have like things like contact lens up double digit. What, did like everybody decide that they're nearsighted? I mean, come on. There's growth here that is just shocking. The only place that is a little weird, China. I mean, China has become, when you speak with people in business about China, it's almost as if they've chosen to have a kind of a slower GDP, not giving them the health care.
It's odd. They did settle for almost $100 million with the state of West Virginia for opioids.
Well, you know, opioid is pretty much behind them. Remember, they were really the distributor of your friends at Purdue. Is that, can I call you that? No.
No.
I like the packaging. Their cancer franchise, thank heavens. They are really, multiple myeloma.
You don't have any parts yet, do you? No knees? Nothing.
No, I still
got
my
original. Shoulders, you got
it all. I got my original stuff.
You're all original.
I can still
Without setting off the metal detector.
Yeah, I don't set off the metal detector.
All right.
Is that like veiled reference to how old I am?
No, it's saying what great shape you are, how well preserved. We got an opening bell coming up.
Keep your eye on Lululemon today. It's going to open higher in a pretty mixed tape. Truist goes to buy and increases their target from $390 to $495, Jim, largely on the idea that upper income consumers are where you want to be in an inflationary environment.
It dovetails with exactly what Brian Moynihan said. The upper scale consumers doing incredibly well. I've got an analyst meeting tomorrow, but you know, when I speak to them, I just keep realizing it's a bigger market, bigger market, bigger market. This is what hybrid has done. this is the preferred dress for wealthier, you know, upper middle. And, you know, the price point is much higher than everybody else's and no discount. So I continue to believe that the stock's a buy. There's still eight people who haven't come around. Eight people who still have a hold on. I think they'll capitulate.
Got some other calls. Increases on Capri, Tapestry as well. Decent retail environment here.
You know, and those are people who actually do supply. They actually look at whether business is better, March tracking better for them. Boy, this March is a really interesting moment. Some guys are just doing so much better, but it tends to be companies that cater to the wealthy.
Right.
And yet we know, if you listen to Brian, to Bank of America, you know, people are spending again. But it seems like that a disproportionate number of the rich people are spending. Traveling, buying things. Everybody's traveling, but the rich people, I guess they can't buy a car, so they're just buying everything else.
Well, a big part of the Delta quarter was the premium business. Yeah,
we talked
about that yesterday.
And wait till you get rid of the mask, David, you'll be able to, you know, have a cocktail.
Well, you already do take your mask off to have a cocktail.
No, but you feel defensive.
Sip the Diet Coke the entire flight.
I sure do. Yes. The whole time I have a Diet Coke. Always. It's like, hey, what are you doing? I got Diet Coke. Don't make me put my mask on.
That reminds me, at the Milken conference last October, they had monitors who went around seeing if you had a fake cup of coffee because they were so mask conscious. They would actually pick your coffee up to see whether it was empty. And if it was, they're like, mask on.
You make it sound like it's a...
It was L.A. It was L.A.
To be fair.
Yeah. You got people wandering around outside there with nobody within 300 yards of them wearing masks.
Well, when I listened to Phil today, I think it's going to matter a lot. But, you know, people are... I was on an extremely full flight to Oaxaca.
Yeah, I've been on a lot of planes lately. They've been full every time.
Extremely
mask
full flight.
Mandate doesn't seem to be inhibiting anybody's
desire to travel. People will travel. David, Akron, jammed.
Well, by the way, we should mention airline stocks are going to lead you this morning on the prospect, I guess, Jim, that people will have even one fewer reason to not travel.
I think so. I mean, you know, everyone, as soon as you get into the airport, you put the mask on, it's a chill factor. Will you look at that? That's ridiculous. Oh, come on. I mean, what, like double the number of people going to fly? There's not enough seats anyway. We're on a extremely full flight to Michigan.
There's got to be more capacity. And by the way, they also may be employee constrained. We've had a lot of reports about the need for Helene Becker yesterday joining us, talking about the job fairs that any large airlines are holding to try to find employees.
Listen to the J.B. Hunt call. I mean, they have like job fairs like around the clock to find truck drivers. And it's not necessarily because people are afraid they'll be replaced by machines. It's just that people, they're not here. Where are they? Where'd they go?
I don't know, Jim.
What?
I don't know.
Help me. J.B. Hunt shouldn't be down. That's crazy. I'm tired of this stuff. The negativity is just ridiculous. I mean, come on. Do you know how many downgrades there were today and number cut? I mean, I was like, other than the Capri and Tapestry, I've got, David, because this is for the investing club, I don't know if you remember, I have 29 negative pieces of research. This is crazy.
You said Street's been really relentlessly negative. NXPI, city cuts to neutral. Margin expansions largely played out. They go from 240 to 190.
What kind of call was that? They can print money. Oh, and then there's always like, PCs. Okay, so everybody bought a PC. Here's one. Norwegian Cruise, Citi raised the price target but keeps it in neutral. Thank you. Archer Daniels Midland is downgraded by B&A. They're printing money. Printing.
Oh, yeah. ADM?
Yeah.
But I think there's got to be some concern there, doesn't there, about food shortages? I mean, this...
Corn's at $8 a bushel.
I mean, we may not be talking enough about what could be coming, because it's still early days.
I'm worried about famine. Famine breeds revolution.
Right. Thankfully, that won't occur here, but we still could have shortages of certain things.
Well, I just think that if you're China and you're the government, you're thinking, well, you know, let's not be too hard. But they're zero COVID at the same time that J&J has too many vaccines. I mean, that is such a political move that it's frightening that you would let that happen to your people, that you could solve this, at least people out of the hospital.
You think
J&J.
It's pride? You think it's pride messing with
them? No, it's pride. Dealing with enough people who are just saying, look. Oh, see, J&J, look at this. What'd I tell you? It was down 6 when I got in this morning.
Yeah.
This thing's a smoke show. What? What'd I say?
That's the number one Dow component this morning, even though they did, Jim, suspend their vaccine revenue guide.
Because the Chinese I shouldn't be laughing. But the reason why this thing, people didn't understand it, is because they acted as if it was a really important quarter on earnings. David, it has nothing to do with earnings. The breakup.
Right, but the breakup kind of came and went, and obviously it's a long time in coming. In the same way that GE's is, these are going to happen over a long period of time.
True.
It just didn't seem to grab the attention and or generate a lot of excitement amongst investors.
Well, I'm increasingly positive about the GE sum of the parts because of the energy business and what has to happen in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the only company that's really benefited from it. And they're not profit. This is not East of Eden.
Right.
But, it stocks not doing well.
No. Again, back to the point, I think there was an expectation when they said, right, we're going to become three companies, that would be viewed as a positive.
David, how come you've not mentioned American Campus?
I'm going to. I'm going to do it as a Faber report. So stay tuned.
Oh,
because there's a lot going on with that deal beyond just the deal itself. Can we come to Netflix, which is going to report tonight?
Oh, my God. That's like Karnak.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
Having worked together for so many years, I think we could just
Trotsky, Russian prune juice.
Mm-hmm. Ice pick.
Bad.
Netflix, which, by the way, Jim, has traded down for 13 of the last 15 earnings
prints. That's good. We want, finally, they've wrenched out the expectations.
My God, the stock's down 44% for this year.
Well, David, everybody's got us streaming. Isn't that the point?
Yeah, but I guess going into this quarter, our expectations so low that there's very little they could do to make people run away even more.
I watch more on Hulu than I watch on Netflix.
Okay. So that is indicative of what?
I'm saying that water cooler talk is not as much Netflix as it used to be. Like, you always have to ask, hey, what is that on? It's on Apple. Apple. Really? It's on Hulu.
So in your mind, there still could be downside. I'm just drawing from your inference here that Hulu.
Well, I just think that what I'm saying is that the stock is down every day because people just say, hey, I don't have enough time to watch. Remember when Reed would always come on Reed Hastings and say, listen, their real enemy is time. Well, yeah, time to be able to watch my Hulu shows and my Netflix shows.
B of A over the weekend said you can't even really call it a COVID winner anymore. It's underperformed the triple Qs by 36% since COVID began.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Seems strange, right?
That is incredible. It's right up there with Zoom. Hey, David, I had Zoom on. They've got some things in the pipe.
Do they?
Making whiteboard available?
Well, they've got the, artificial intelligence, conversational artificial intelligence. You're like doing a sales call, mm-hmm. and they can hear when you're saying, when you say,
They cut that out?
Well, you can learn not to say it.
I see. All those things that we do to extend while we're thinking about an actual word.
Nice. Very nice. So good.
Okay. Thanks for that.
No problem. I think that Zoom is still overvalued. It sells at 30 times earnings. Hasn't gotten to where they want. People are looking for a down year next year. Can't buy a stock with a down year. So they have to come up with something. How are you doing over there with Peloton?
What?
No, I'm asking about the ultimate COVID stuff.
We're looking at Zoom, Peloton, DocuSign. I don't know. I'm thinking about all of them. None of them have done very well.
No, because the pandemic is an epidemic.
Yes. Apparently, a lot of them were owned by hedge funds. We maybe have not talked enough about the terrible performance for the first quarter of so many hedge funds.
Oh, my.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking about double-digit declines. Yes. These guys are, instead of making hundreds of millions, they're only going to make like tens of millions.
I know. It's terrible. Fundraiser time.
What's the biggest winner consistently other than Tesla? Prologis.
Really?
PLD. I got them on tonight. Amazon. Warehouse. David should have gone to a warehouse. The Graduate?
Mm-hmm.
Plastics?
Mm-hmm. Warehouses?
Exactly. How do you mean? Right?
Blackstone got
Holds
that.
Up.
Blackstone got that memo. Might be a good time to transition to a Faber report this morning as we take a look at who will be the guest on Mad Money tonight as well. Because their BREIT, the Blackstone REIT, they've been very active in that area. But as Jim mentioned earlier, active again today with the purchase of American Campus Communities. It's a $13 billion transaction, and it's two of the Blackstone funds. It's both The BREIT, which I've talked about a bit, but want to talk a bit more about because it's such an important product overall in the real estate industry and what it's meant there, as well as it is also their Blackstone property. It's a core fund, you know, targeting like roughly a 7% return. But there's a look at American Campus this morning. Of course, the deal did represent, what was it, a 14% premium to yesterday's
close. It
had been going up. And by the way, the cap rate, 4.25%. A couple of interesting things to note here at that cap rate. That was a cap rate that might have prevailed at the end of last year before rates moved up appreciably. And yet, despite that move up in rates, you're still talking about cap rates of less of 4.25%. And by the way, that's before CapEx. That's before SG&A. And so you really are talking about what? Returns of perhaps in the high threes, something along those lines. Student housing is what the key portfolio is here. Usually does trade at a spread to traditional rentals. There may be more risk, of course, because if you lose the tenant, you're not going to get a new one, right? Kids come for the semester and or the full year. But again, the fact that asset prices have really not come down despite that ramp up in rates is an important one here, as well as the overall growth of this BREIT. What a product. It started not that many years ago, still taking in roughly $3 billion a month. It's one of the largest REITs out there. This is perpetual capital being put to use, talking about roughly a 4% dividend. There has been capital appreciation. High net worth individuals approached by their broker, it might go something like this. Yeah, 4% dividend. It's Blackstone. It's real estate. They're the experts. Look at what they've done. Been capital appreciation as well. And it's an inflation hedge. You don't have enough real estate in your portfolio. And boom, every month that adds up to $3 billion more a month going into this thing. That's why they need to spend it. And by the way, Starwood's got one called the S-REIT that takes in about $1 billion a month. The numbers are staggering in terms of what's come in here and what will continue to and what it's meant really for the prices, therefore, that they're willing to pay. And again, they're not the most aggressive investors here. They use some leverage. Perhaps in this deal, they won't use any leverage. I don't know specifically. You know, maybe they'll put leverage on at a later date. Because it would appear that they'd have positive leverage right now. Maybe they think rates are going to come down. But, Jim, it's been an interesting asset class, to say the least. And this BREIT has been the leader. Again, not a publicly traded REIT, but one of the largest out there. And every month getting bigger and bigger with bigger investments and big deals like this one. That they are at least a part of. They're not the sole buyer. They're buying it with the other Blackstone fund.
You can't give up on things just because the Justice Department or FTC are tougher, because this is a deal. You know, this company had the stickiest payments because it's parents paying for kids. They tend to pick areas where it's nice dorms, you know, basically dorms their parents are paying for.
Yep.
And Carl, one of the things I recommended this stock 2 weeks ago is...
Wow, good recommendation.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Is that I thought coming out of COVID, this thing would, you know, people would come back to school. But, I mean, I didn't think it would, like, get a bid. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that people were staying at home. So it's a gutsy move. But I do think that I've always liked anything that involves parents paying for kids, having done that.
The helicopter parent dynamic. It hasn't, yeah. I mean, enrollment trends are still questionable, right? If you look at Chegg, for example.
Don't you think that's why that's amazing confidence in people returning? Chegg, people worried about. I don't know why. I mean, geez, he bought a lot of stock. The stock's had to move. But, you know, David, I look at these REITs. You know, we had Ventas ringing the bell today.
Yeah, I saw Debbie here. Yeah.
Deb Cafaro. And there's a tremendously, I think, tremendously undervalued REIT that, you know, there's been, the yield's low, but there's been a lot of talk. You know, there's been activists. And activists are pretty much everywhere. What a pain in the butt they are. I mean, they can accomplish anything?
Sometimes they do.
What? Yeah. Without a doubt.
Oh, come on. There's plenty of examples where they've accomplished something. Certainly getting a company sold is something we see often. In fact, Zendesk, for example. I've done spotty reporting here and there. The fact that Catalyst was hired. The question is it real? But Quattrone, they get hired to sell stuff. And Zendesk is about 5%.
Yeah, I thought, that's expensive.
I had heard
stock.
That. Yeah, remember their deal to acquire Momentum died. I did that other story on that director, Carl Bass. But, you know, we'll see. They haven't scheduled the meeting at Zendesk. And so a lot of people were waiting for that. And they are in a fight with Jana. over directors. So there's a case where if they were to try and outrun the proxy fight by selling the company, there's an activist that had an impact.
They're losing money and probably lose money next year. I don't know.
By the way, we haven't mentioned Hasbro either. Speaking of that, it is a miss, but revenue was ahead, and they raised the full-year guide, Jim.
Yeah, look, I mean, Hasbro's had issues with, like many of these companies, you know, supply chain. So maybe, again, people think maybe it's easing. I don't know. You know, look, we know that they lost their CEO, and so people feel that maybe it's just time to lose the company.
Yep. Also, putting a number on the revenue hit from Russia-Ukraine, about $100 million.
You know, we're finding who did and who didn't do business there. And, you know, there's a lot of companies that were doing a lot of business there. And, you know, David, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, SAP just announced plans to exit after all this time.
In the end, you're not, you know, as the war began. I was reading a lot about Chechnya and the war there. It's playing out for events like this. They kept getting rid of their generals and trying to get tougher and tougher and tougher. And in the end, they just leveled Grozny, and they leveled it twice, by the way. They leveled it in 96, then they leveled it again in 2000. But when Putin came in, because they lost the first war from Yeltsin, Putin basically just said, look, shoot, I don't care if you kill a lot of Russians. And so during the war, there was this sense of, wow, we're killing our own people. But Putin didn't care. So we're seeing a bit of that Putin again.
Yep. We're definitely watching, tragically, the situation in the East, what they're calling the second phase of this offensive.
Right.
Dow is up 200, and we're back above 4,400. Morning, Bapasani.
Morning, Carl. About even on the advanced decline line at the open. It's getting a little better in the last 5 minutes, and I like what I see because some groups that have been in a little bit of trouble in the last week are looking a lot better. The transports have stabilized. They were down around 240 just a few days ago, and they've been looking a lot better. Another group looking better in the last few days are bank stocks. Goldman's had a nice couple of days put together. That always helps. Another group looking better is home building stocks. Remember what a disastrous first quarter we had for them on rising rates and concerns about high prices. They have also started stabilizing. So three important groups have looked a lot better. Of course, energy's been the leader throughout the whole year. Not surprised it's taking a little bit of a break today. What's not taking a break is Halliburton, which is hitting another new high. This is one of those perpetual stocks on the new one of the stocks on the perpetual new high list. It's down a little bit, but it was up right at the open. And boy, what a quarter they had. Now, the actual top line numbers were about in line with expectations. But you want to look at some of the commentary. There's a good reason that oil services have been the market leader. Look at some of these comments they made today. A multi-year upcycle is underway. This is from the earnings release. They're seeing higher prices. They're seeing very strong customer demand and a sold out equipment market. What's that mean? They are the equipment market. They're the people that are selling the equipment. They're saying they can't get the stuff out there fast enough to meet the demand. That's a pretty strong statement. When the equipment maker says we have a sold out equipment market, that's a bullish comment. Then, of course, they talked about supply and demand, significant tightness across the entire oil and gas chain. It doesn't get more bullish in terms of the commentary than that. Of course, the market knows this. We've been talking about it for weeks now. And the stock markets from the very beginning of the year has reflected the belief that this was going to be an amazing number. We're seeing earnings estimates 200% higher than the same quarter last year for the first quarter. So Halliburton's up 80%. Transocean, Baker Hughes, Schlumberger, these are the guys who sell the equipment that actually gets the oil and gas out of the ground, oil and gas equipment manufacturers. So that's the key story here. Elsewhere, I want to note, we always talk about inflation in terms of commodity costs and inflation in terms of companies that make things. And yet we're even seeing inflation in the insurance space, believe it or not. Having a nice chat with my old producer, Robert Hum, this morning about Travelers numbers. And here's what they noted here. These are renewal premiums. This is what they're charging for the above beyond the existing policies. Business insurance, 9.1% higher. Bond and specialty insurance, 12% higher for the premiums. Homeowners policies, 12% higher. Autos, there's the laggard right there. That's interesting. Only 3% higher. I guess my point here, Carl, is that we're seeing inflation right across the board, even in a service that you would think doesn't have a lot of commodities or anything associated with it, but does have things like, for example, labor costs associated with it. So pay attention to that. Travelers, by the way, is down today, even though they did raise their dividend. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bob Pisani. A reminder, you can get in on the CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Just sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/join the club. Or as always, use the QR code on your screen. As we go to break, take a look at the bond report. Check out Treasuries. We did get to 3-year highs. The long bond above 3 today. And we'll be looking for some commentary later on today. By the way, nat gas is one reason the tape in general is higher. Some relief off of yesterday's crazy upside action. Yeah, we'll be right back. We mentioned this relief we're getting a bit in nat gas today, down 8%. One reason, S&P's up 28, and every sector is green with the exception of energy. Dow session or opening highs up 250 here. We'll take a break and be right back. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
All right, so we got Prologis, as I mentioned earlier. That's just a runaway freight train. And why is that? Because this warehouses for e-com. Plug Power, interesting deal with Walmart. Green hydrogen, we've got to go over that. The stock was up 3 initially, it's coming down. And then Brian Winham with, I thought, the best bank earnings of the quarter.
Best really bank remarkable. Of the quarter.
Oh, yeah, easy. It just easy. I mean, I got to hand it to them. A lot of it is how much they spent on technology. Right. Way before everybody else did. That's why, I mean, you're not supposed to say who you use or not, but I just find Zelme.
We said
Erica
yesterday they had
all like this.
They had the
Erica.
Quarter you probably wish Wells had had. Yep.
True. Yep. Had to bring that up. Okay. That's all right.
We'll see you tonight. So
that Wells quarter I felt then in Oaxaca. That's how far that reach was.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.